Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Today, I'm talking to two young women who have started a website to help you about living with allergies on your everyday. And actually, they were suggested to get in contact with me by Courtney, who runs the Allergy Girl Eats blog. You may remember her from a few episodes back. And yeah, so she got us in touch, and I'm really excited to be welcoming and interviewing Amanda and Joella today. So welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Welcome. So the first thing I like to ask everybody who comes on the podcast is, tell me about your allergy journey. Like, where did it start and where did it, has it got to now?
Okay, so I'll start. So basically, my allergy journey started from the time I was about 3 months old. I was diagnosed with allergies to peanuts, nuts, dairy, all legumes, soy, chicken, and a few different fruits. And, you know, my mom had to learn how to cook all over again, and it was a complete change in lifestyle. And my brother also was diagnosed with a peanut, nut, and certain shellfish allergy when he was 2 years old. So he had actually eaten peanuts and, like, loved peanut butter. And then he was diagnosed with this allergy, and then I came along, and then I had these allergies straight from the get-go. So, you know, I've always grown up with them. And then in university, I was living in a, like, apartment-style university, and mm-hmm. Joella and I were placed together as roommates. And then Joella was, like, completely, like, we just hit it off immediately, and she was, like, taking care of me straight from the beginning. And then fast forward 9 years, and now here we are.
Oh, and then Joella, you don't have any allergies that you know of?
No, that's right. Okay. I don't have I like how you say that I know of.
That's well, you never know nowadays. Like, adults are developing them all the time now. It's crazy.
That's absolutely correct. And yeah, I don't have any allergies. I grew up in Dubai, and I had absolutely no one around me with a food allergy. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't understand how severe it was. But my personality is the kind of personality that's just a natural mom. And so when Mandy had these allergies, I was like, yes, totally, I can take care of you. And and so I took it very seriously. And I think we've been friends for 10 years, and living together kind of just introduced me into that world and understood, you know, how serious it is. And that's where I came in. And at the same time, like you said, I don't have allergies yet. But I do have lactose intolerances, and I do mm-hmm. have seasonal allergies. And I know that those are not the same thing as, like, anaphylaxis. Mm-hmm. And so now people say that to us when, you know, when we meet people and we talk about what we do, and someone goes, oh, yes, I have a gluten intolerance. I'm like, no, that's not the same thing. Really annoying, because I get it. And but I also don't agree that, you know, the severity is not the same.
Yeah. Well, intolerances and allergies are coming from different parts of the body as well, which, so it's a physiological difference as well as a like an actual severity and reaction. So let's I want to talk about university, because I haven't talked to a lot of, I mean, I've talked to a lot of mums, and they have young kids, I think usually between the ages like 5 and 15, but I haven't talked to a lot of, you know, adults dealing with allergies, or like adults with friends who are dealing with their allergies. So let's go back to university when you guys were meeting. And Amanda, can you tell me about, like, what it was like getting ready to go to university and then having to tell people about your allergies?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I feel like the information that we had available at the time was a lot different. So there are a lot of things that I didn't consider back then that I, if it was happening now, I would consider. But to me at the time, it was just like, oh, okay, you know, I always knew which school I wanted to go to. And I knew that I was going to have to live in apartment style res. And fortunately, we had a couple options for apartment style res at U of T, mm-hmm. University of Toronto. And I had to go register with the disabilities office to make sure that I got an apartment style unit and that I wasn't placed in, we had like just other like regular dorm style living.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was pretty much the only thing I did to prepare. Like, I don't know. I wasn't super prepared, to be honest. Like, I thought about it, but I didn't. I just knew, like, okay, I'm going to be living with, like, three other people, and we're going to be sharing a kitchen, and we're going to be sharing this apartment, and, like, I'll bring my own food.
Yeah.
And, like, it'll be okay. But I was very, I don't know, at the time I was, like, very insecure about my food allergy, so okay. I just never really told anyone, like, literally never told anyone, except for the people that I lived with.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about, like, how I communicated it to them, it was, like, so nonchalant. But fortunately, another girl that we lived with was also anaphylactic to peanuts, nuts, dairy, and eggs. So we were kind of like, and we lived in the rooms next to each other. So it was kind of good that I had another person who was maybe a bit more prepared than I was.
And then, did you guys live together in first year, or was that later on?
We lived together in first and second year. Oh, okay. And so, yeah, Joella was one of my first roommates.
Oh.
And she was the one who, like, you know, I casually mentioned this, like, oh, by the way, I have a life-threatening allergy to this long list of things, and I'm just going to put this list up on the fridge, and you can just read it in your own time. And Joella was like, what? Please clarify that for me.
It was an adjustment. I can't lie, because I am... I think I would call myself a foodie because I do love all kinds of food, and I'm like a big cheese fan. So I think that in my first year, I could see a man, like, I would come home for lunch, you know, and I'd heap Parmesan on my pasta, and Amanda would like glare at it with these big eyes. Because I didn't understand it at the beginning. And over time, as I started learning, I just started, you know, either hiding these things from her or getting really crazy about, like, my Windex or my Lysol.
which I really appreciated.
Yeah, I'd, like, go crazy with the cleaning products, you know, buy my sponge and keep everything separate. And I started panicking because the worst thing I could do at that point was to give her, you know, an attack. And I didn't want it to come from me. I didn't want it to be my fault.
Yeah.
So I think I went a bit crazy. I have natural OCD to like keeping things clean, but this just gave me an excuse to go crazy.
That's so funny. Well, that's quite good. Like, I mean, it just reminds me when I went to university, and I think I wasn't embarrassed about my allergy, but I think I told everyone in the beginning. But yeah, no, my housemates weren't as good as you, Joella. Like,
how did they take it?
I mean, they were fine with it. It was only peanuts and all tree nuts, so not like dairy was fine and eggs and things like that. But I remember one of my housemates in my first year, oh, and it happened a little bit throughout second and third depending on who was there and what they forgot, because they did, but there was one housemate of mine who would always have almond milk, and he'd leave the cartons lying around. Yeah, and I'd repeatedly told him. I got so annoyed with him one time. I think mm-hmm. And he also left cereal boxes lying around, so I just stuck them all on his door.
Oh gosh.
Oh my god.
I mean, it was like 8 months, like, you know, 6 months into the term, and I was just like, come on, dude. You've been told by everybody, come on. So I just stuck them to this door. I think the message got through slightly.
But, yeah. Strategy, like,
you gotta get creative, and some of the younger boys, they just don't get it.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, the thing is, like, no matter what, when you're living with people who are 17 or like 18, there's gonna be people who like don't wash their dishes or like don't want to, you know, clean the counters after they've cooked or whatever. Mm. Like, it's going to be that kind of thing to contend with. And maybe it's not an age thing, but when people are first living on their own for the first time, it's like you're learning how to adult. Like,
yeah.
You gotta figure it out.
Yeah. And I guess that's actually a really good process going to university, because you can't rely on your parents. You can't rely on the friends you've known all your life who know about your allergies already. You kind of have to...
Exactly.
Like, learn to both be an adult but also be an advocate of your own allergies.
Exactly.
So Amanda, tell me about, like, 'cause you said you weren't very confident about your allergies. You felt, you know, you didn't feel so comfortable telling people about them. Like, when did that change, or how did it change?
I think it kind of changed over the last couple of years. Yeah, I used to really just downplay it all the time. Like, even if I was in a restaurant, I would be like, to the waiter, I would be like, oh, by the way, I'm allergic to all these things. Okay, thanks. And, like, I wouldn't go into detail, and I was just kind of like, I didn't want people to think I was, like, weird, or, like, I didn't want anyone to tell me they felt bad for me, because I hate when people say that.
You didn't want to be an inconvenience.
What's that?
You didn't want to be an inconvenience.
I didn't want to be an inconvenience. I didn't want people to, like, ask me a million questions. Like, because sometimes when you, I understand, like, if people hear about this and they're not familiar with it, they have, like, a lot of questions, because it's, like, such a different thing. But if they're asking you those things, like, while you're at a restaurant, like, waiting for your food to come, it, like, causes a lot of, I don't know, it was, like, kind of nerve-wracking. Like, suddenly it's front of mind, and it's like, ah, mm. like, I just want to eat. So I always try to, yeah, I always just kind of tried to swipe it under the rug. Mm-hmm. And then it was when I started dating my current boyfriend that he was like, why, like, you should just say it. Like, it's not a big deal. And, like, Joella and some of my other friends are like, you know, you should probably, like, be okay with this. It's not going to go away. And I feel like as I got older, I just kind of grew into it. And then I had a really bad reaction a couple years ago. And then it was, like, a bit of a wake-up call to say, like, I mean, the reaction was not from miscommunication. It was because a product I bought had been improperly labeled, uh-huh. and it contained dairy, but didn't say it contained dairy. So, I mean, that was kind of one of those fluke things that happens, unfortunately. Mm. But, yeah, and it was just kind of a wake-up call, like, okay, I shouldn't be embarrassed about this. Like, this is a serious thing. I just have to say it. And, you know, I think a lot of it just stems from, like, getting bullied or teased or whatever in elementary school and high school, and, you know, you don't want to be the loser, you don't want to be, like, the mm. person who, like, looks like a baby, they have to carry their medication everywhere, mm. and it just kind of you. So I think, like, as I grew up, I kind of got over it.
Yeah, that's quite a good, yeah, way of putting it. You just sort of get on with it and
yeah, I just kind of accepted it, I guess.
Yeah, and, like, did you find, like, you mentioned a little bit that, was that you who had, you know, experienced some bullying or not nice stuff because of your allergies in school?
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, in elementary school, it was actually, like, not too bad. I remember just, you know, there's always those kids who say, like, oh, I'm going to put peanuts in your lunchbox, and, like, they think it's hilarious, or mm. those kind of things. They're like, you know, if you bring your own cake to a birthday party, mm-hmm. and your mom puts it out for you, and everyone's like, oh, why are you so weird? Like, why aren't you joining the rest of us? And it's, like, more about exclusion, I guess. Mm. When you get to high school, then people do say some nasty things. But, I mean, fortunately, I didn't get, like, bullied very badly or anything. But mm-hmm. I think sometimes, even if people just make cutting comments, they kind of stick with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of it is just about lack of inclusion, I guess. Like, in elementary school, you know, I had to sit at my own table to eat. I had Aww. To, like, you know, there was, like, no one else in the class who sat with me. So it was just kind of, like, for the first few years of elementary school, I was kind of, like, always alone. I don't Aww. Know. And then, like, you just kind of, you know, I'm a bit of a lone wolf now, so I think it's just, like, part of who I am. But then I guess those things just stick with you.
Aw. And then, but it's, okay, so when you were talking with your boyfriend, and that's when things started changing and having the reaction. Like, how does, looking back now, kind of, what do you think about the times at school and at university where you weren't so confident? Like, have you reflected on that or thought about it? And if you'd do anything differently?
I don't know that I'd say, like, go back and do anything differently, but I, you know, there were just times when it maybe people would say things, or if someone does make the comment, like, oh, I feel so bad for you, like, I wish I had a better response, mm-hmm. as opposed to just saying, like, oh, okay, and then, like, avoiding them forever. Like, like,
what do
but
you
then
say?
It's different, because then I have friends like Joe who, like, Joella will respond to these people before I even have a chance to say anything. So, you know.
My frustration gets the better of me.
So what do you say, Joella?
I'm getting
There
nervous
was one
already.
time, okay, wait, sorry. There was one time when someone said, "Oh, I feel so bad for you." And Joella out of nowhere goes, "Why would you feel bad for her?" This was like the most, it was hilarious. And the person had no idea what to say.
Shock
I just
tactics.
felt, yeah. I didn't grow up with the food allergies at all, and I don't live with them. But I get visibly frustrated when people don't understand the severity of it. And Amanda's been used to this kind of response, right? Because she's been getting it for years. And now that I'm kind of, I would say, like, you know how people live vicariously through people when they go on trips? This is me living vicariously with someone with food allergies.
Oh my goodness, that is the first time I've ever heard that. That is absolutely fantastic. Usually it's like some the other way around.
Yeah, I know.
So all you allergy mums out there, I hope you're listening to this.
Anyway, so when she hears these things, I imagine myself to be living with allergies, and I get so annoyed and irritated that someone could think that, you know, your life is over because you can't have a bit of ice cream or cheese. And like, the truth of the matter is, when I lived with Amanda, she was one of the best cooks I had ever come across at such a young age. And I come from a household of like amazing cooks. My mom and grandma were just absolutely amazing. People would come over all the time. And Amanda cooked like nothing was wrong. Like, you would come over and our whole apartment in university would smell like an Italian restaurant.
Oh,
And
nice.
yeah, and so, you know, to me, she wasn't living in any way that made people believe that she was missing out on anything. If anything, they were missing out on her cooking. And I would do that a lot of times. In fact, I would always, that's my introduction about Amanda. I'd be like, oh, this is my best friend, and she cooks like really well. I would completely forget that she has allergies because she just, it didn't, it became a part of her life so much that she didn't realize it had become a part of her life. You know,
Well
she,
said.
like, it's true. She'd be cooking, you know, a tomato sauce, and the it would like be stewing, and the smell of the tomato sauce would fill the house, and it would taste like something you'd expect, you know, I don't know, Otto Lengi or something to be cooking in the kitchen. Like, you wouldn't think that this is coming from someone who has food restrictions or has taken out a couple of key ingredients or something. That would not cross your mind because the flavor and the taste would be there. And
Ah.
so if people, you know, had that reaction, I would just get annoyed because I didn't see it. And I think that I'd get even more irritated that they were not empathizing with her instead of, you know, saying something useful. They'd be like, oh, I feel bad for you. You know, oh, that's too bad. Or, oh, you'll never get to have ice cream. That's so sad. Like, no, it's not so sad. It's not.
Thank
Like,
you.
stop it. Like, no one needs that kind of negativity in their life. Jeez.
It's so
Yeah.
true. Ah, oh, that's so lovely. It's like, I guess, Amanda, it must be really weird kind of to hear it from an outside view.
It's very flattering.
Yeah.
Yeah,
We are, well, everybody, I'll be posting the link to their blog on the website so you can go check out any recipes. Amanda, you've got recipes on the website?
yes, we do a lot of recipes.
Okay then, so everybody can go check out the website and Amanda's amazing recipes, as tested by Joella, I'm sure.
Nina, I'm going to come back to just one thing.
Sure.
The whole experience of university kind of gave us a bird's eye view, not a bird's eye view, gave us a very holistic view into how like allergies is just a full lifestyle. And that's kind of what brought us together because
Yeah.
in a few weeks we're releasing a online shop so that kids in
Ooh.
university actually have somewhere to go that's like for them, you
Oh,
know.
cool.
And
Tell me
yeah,
about
and
it.
it'll have everything from like food products to skincare and just food accessories, just things that normal people would not get.
Yeah, honestly, I'm like trying to explain it to people who don't have allergies is really funny, but I mean, well, you'll see it when it goes live, but it's
Yeah.
all geared towards young adults with food allergies and the things that they might want.
Amazing. So seeing as we've started talking about your website, tell me what's it called and how did you start it?
The website's called Everyday Allergen Free, and so we started it because I had a book coming out a couple years ago, and about 6 months before the book was releasing, My agent was like, you know, you should start blogging. Like, people these days blog, so you should be one of them. And I was like, yeah, okay, like, I'll think about it. But I didn't really think I had time or interest to do, like, an actual blog. And then it was about January 2015. Then I had this reaction that I mentioned earlier to the spread. And then it was, like, my first reaction as an adult, so it was very different. Like, the ones I had as a kid, I didn't really have much of a memory of them. I just, like, knew that it happened and that it was a bit traumatic, and that was all. But now as an adult, it was a completely different experience. And, you know, you're very, like, present through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the memory sticks with you. And so then I was extremely cautious afterwards. And, like, I had, like, a lot of anxiety around eating, and I couldn't bring myself to eat anything. And I was just, like, you know, living off of bland foods and having all these sort of, like, PTSD flashbacks of that day. And then I thought, okay, well, this is a good thing to write about. So that was, like, the first thing I ever wrote about was this reaction. And then, you know, I posted it, and people gave me a lot of feedback saying, like, wow, I had no idea that that's what that is, and thanks for sharing it. And, like, it really resonated with people. Even those who didn't have food allergies were like, oh, this is interesting, because I didn't know that that's what a reaction is actually like. And then from there, I just kind of started blogging a bit more regularly, but just under my own name. And then last summer, Joella and I were like, you know, and I was always kind of geared towards adults and teens to begin with. But then last year, Joe and I were like, okay, we really need to make this, like, specific to teens and adults, and we need to, like, do this hardcore. And I closed my original blog, and then we opened Everyday Allergen Free. And so that's been our focus right from the beginning. It's like, what are the challenges that teenagers and adults are facing? And what are their successes? And how can we highlight this? And how can we bring in other members of the community to write for us and share their experiences? And how can we create basically, like, a positive place?
Yeah, that's so good. And I, like, that's definitely one of the things over in England as well. There's a big gap. Like, there isn't any focus, or there's not as much focus on teenagers especially. And it's one of the times where they're not going to talk about it so much, but their mums and their parents are always like, you know, you've got questions, you need to ask them. Like, but there's not many people to ask. And it's only, like, now through doing the podcast that I'm finding, you know, people who have had allergies since they were a kid and are now starting to blog about it. Because now we're now we're old enough to kind of be like, okay, and, you know, having reactions as an older person as well. So, yeah, it's really great to hear all this.
And I mean, like, you and I, like, we're kind of, like, the first gen that had food allergies to the extent that, you know what I mean? So now it's, like, everyone's growing up, and so you have these, like, different age groups that are dealing with it, and it's not just a kid thing anymore.
Yeah, but it's interesting, because it's, like, everybody has the same problems, and they're all going through the same things. It's just they're asking their questions in a different way, and they want, a safe space to do it, so... You know, having the kids and the teenagers in the same place as the adult to ask questions is not always, you know, a comfortable, safe space.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you're a teenager, when do you want to spend time with your parents? You probably, well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I was trying to, like, be independent as a teenager and show that I could be grown up or something.
Exactly.
So
you don't want anyone telling you what to do, but you don't mind reading it in a blog.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's not your family. Obviously your family are never gonna understand what you're feeling.
I know, right?
So tell me a little bit more about the stuff you're putting on the blog, and, you know, because I've been seeing some, you know, guest posts and videos and things that are going up, and I mean this episode is being recorded in August and probably posted September, October time. But you've got some cooking stuff coming up as well. So do you want to tell me about all these different events you've got coming up?
Yeah, so we cover a few key areas on the site. Life, food, beauty and body, and get inspired. So those are our four sections. Mm-hmm. And the life is where we write about sort of the editorial things, our opinion pieces. What are some things that are happening in our life? What is a challenge that we faced? Or what is a situation that we were in How do you travel on a business trip? How do you pack for going away? How do you meet your in-laws? Like, I don't know, all these, like, situations, that's kind of where we deal with that. And it's more just opinions. And then moving on, we have food, where we share our recipes, but we also do, like, a cookbook allergy makeover series where we have a lot of guests come into our kitchen. We have a lot of people come into our kitchen. A lot of other bloggers, chefs, you know, personalities of different kinds, and sometimes people who are just friends of ours who just really want to be involved, and they'll cook from a cookbook and sort of we'll take a recipe and alter it to be free from the top 8 allergens, mm-hmm. or, you know, allergens we want to focus on for that recipe, and then we'll just let them go and we'll photograph the whole thing, and then we'll kind of write about, like, what did we like about this cookbook, or is it good for people with allergies? Is there a lot to change, or is it, you know, relatively simple to change things? We actually just had Joella's younger cousin on the other day, and so her post is up now. And so, you know, sometimes we have kids cooking. And then in Beauty and Body, we talk about making your own skincare products, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, for example, yourself, if you have a nut allergy, I mean, a lot of cosmetics and skincare products have almond oil in them.
Yeah.
Or like walnut shell or things like that. So we talk about how to make your own skincare, and we talk about brands that we love. And soon we'll be talking about brands that we carry. So that's fantastic. And then Get Inspired is where our guest writers come in. So we do have, you know, allergy bloggers or, you know, just people who are living with allergies who want to write an article for us. And we share it there because we always like to have a very positive tone.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to read about other people who are experiencing the same things that you are, sort of organically. So, yeah.
Cool. That sounds so good. And then, yeah, Joella, like, how did you, I mean, I know you guys are friends, but how did you just, actually, no, I can feel it coming. Like, it's the mum instinct. She's like, yeah, let's do a website and tell everyone about these allergies.
Absolutely. I think, well, when we were in university, whenever she'd cook, I'd like boast about it because I just loved her cooking. But after that, we used to actually live down, like, even after university, we'd live really close to each other. I think we lived like 2 blocks away. So, you know, I'd come over, and for me, I've had challenges like every year on Mandy's birthday, I go on like a crazy bake hunt for like 3 months before her birthday, trying to look for like an allergen-free place where like I can get a professionally made cake made, because I know she's not going to eat it if it's like made in my house or made with anyone else. It's not an offense to me.
If you made it, I probably wouldn't trust it if anyone else made it.
Yeah, but I get it, you know, I get why. Yeah, yeah. So I've like, you know, I've had roommates after university, so I would still be cautious. And even today, like, I've always like, I would love to have Amanda in my house, and my mom would have to like, you know, hone down the whole kitchen down with Lysol and like just bed for that. And we haven't had that yet. We haven't had Mandy over to my parents' house, which would be awesome. But I've been really cautious of it. I go on this hunt trying to look for a birthday cake for her, and so I get like a lot of the challenges that she faces from a just a different perspective. And yeah, you're absolutely right, it's totally a mom thing.
No,
I used to call her all the time. The website was Amanda's Recipes that she had before. And I'd keep pushing her. I'd be like, no, post more, take more pics. Like, keep writing about this. Keep putting it out there. And finally, when we came together and decided, okay, let's do everyday allergen free, we said, you know, let's take this more seriously. I've taken a lot of business classes in school. And it's always been like a passion of mine to have something that's kind of entrepreneurial. So I like, would sit down and be like, no, here's a calendar, this is what we need to do. And then I also started thinking about more holistically, like when you're in university, the things that like girls and maybe even guys, I don't know, like bond over is makeup. Like, you love getting ready together, you love sharing makeup, you love like dressing up together in like a dorm room before you go out, you love sharing meals together. That's like such an important way to make friends, you know. And the cookbooks came about because there were huge community groups. Like, you've obviously heard of Deliciously Ella because it's so big in the UK. And then there's Whole30. And, like, these were all major, like, avenues of community. And Mandy can take gotten them. So when we started doing the cookbook reviews, I just started saying, like, let's include people who don't have allergies. Let's show them what it's like to make these adjustments. Let's show them that it's not complicated, that it's fun. And I obviously, you've seen our website now, and it's very colorful and bright, and it really focuses on, like, there's no negativity. There's no, you know, you can't do this. It's always, you can do this with this. Or, like, this is how you make a, this is how you, you know, include a chocolatey baked toast. That's, like, completely eat. And that's kind of how we took it. And then coming back to what we're doing on the site, you said, ask, tell us about the different things. So we started doing cooking demonstrations here in Toronto because we realized that, again, there's a niche for that. Nobody, there's such a huge food community in Toronto. There's so many chefs, so many restaurants, just like London, of course, but nobody's talking about allergies yet. Like, they're pretty good with knowing what it's about, but there's no alternatives. You know, I would get fed up. We went to high tea together with our moms on Mother's Day, and it was like a really nice restaurant. And when Mandy told them that she had allergies, they brought out a plate of fruit, and that started also to bug me.
Joelle was furious.
Because, you know, these are trained chefs. Like, you have trained for years. You know what's safe, what's not. And it's just, it's to me, when someone brings out a plate of fruit, it's because they are not creative enough. It's because they've not taken enough time to think, okay, what can she eat? Because if you take that time, there are so many things she can eat. And bringing out a plate of food just is like the ultimate sign of laziness to me. Like, I refuse to let her, like, you know, pay some gastronomical high tea price and then get, like, a bowl of apples. Like, it just, it doesn't.
It's so true. I mean, it's just you saying that reminds me. I went, I think it was my graduation ball or something from university, and they brought me fruit salad for the starter and then fruit salad for dessert because of my nut allergy. Yeah. And because I'm gluten intolerant, I couldn't have. And I literally, I saw the dessert that everyone else was having, and the only thing that was wrong with it was that there were, like, sprinkled crumbs on, like, biscuit on top, and I was like, okay.
That's exactly the kind of thing that would, like, drive me up the wall. Like, I'd probably take that, go back to the chef and be like, what is this? Like, why did you go to university? Like, why did you go study culinary arts if this is not a culinary art?
I mean, it's so nice to hear someone, like, say that, because I know, Amanda, you probably would have had, well, you probably do have the same reaction. I'm just like, doesn't matter, it's fine, I've brought some food in my bag with me, like, I'm expecting this.
Like, I don't care what it is, as long as it's safe, like, that's my
Yeah, but
and to me, it's like a professional kitchen, so you have the space to, like, to do something creative. You have the time to do something creative. You have the man hours. It's more just knowledge.
Yeah.
And knowledge barrier is what we're trying to break.
Yeah. And actually, with a lot of the chefs, the professional ones, I've talked to one. There's a restaurant in England. I'm yet to visit it, but it looks amazing. And it's all catering for allergies. It's called Oscar and Bentley's. And their chef is not allergic. But
I'm totally gonna go there.
Yeah, it's in Canterbury. Everyone, I'm trying to get a hold of them to do an interview. So everybody, watch this space. And if you know Oscar and Bentley restaurant in Canterbury, please get them to get in touch with me. But I saw a demo of theirs at a conference back in November of 2016 called Food Matters Live. And oh no, it wasn't. Yes, it was. It was either that or the allergy show. And I was just talking to them afterwards, and the chef was saying, no, he doesn't have any allergies, but he loves the challenge of dealing with allergies. And they don't have a strictly, like, allergen-free kitchen, because they have lots of different clients with, you know, some with celiac disease, some with dairy allergies, some with nut allergies, some with you know, egg allergies, but they always, like, are really careful with understanding cross-contamination, how to make the kitchen safe, making sure the customers tell them what their allergies are so they can make it safe. And it's all about always being able to cater to people with allergies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Yeah, we noticed that when we started having chefs on on Everyday Allergen Free. We've had the chef from the Drake 150, mm-hmm. and recently we've learned about more chefs and we've learned about their processes in the kitchen, which sometimes are kind of awesome, you know, like they'll take all of the precautions, they'll have binders, they'll have, you know, bullet point notes, they'll have stickies up so that people know, and it's more a team effort than it is the actual kitchen. So like, you know, the waiters and the waitresses and the hostesses, it's got to be a team effort, like mm-hmm. everyone's got to know what's happening so mm-hmm. that every step of the way there is a trustable source and you know your food is trusted. And it's a very basic ask, I think it's a very, you know, basic thing, because food is such an integral part of life. There's no area in your life that you do not use food. At a birthday party, at the cinema, you have popcorn. Yeah. You wake up in the morning, there's, you know, you have three meals a day. You go to a party, you go out for drinks, you go out to a shower, a bridal shower, a birthday shower, a baby shower. There's always food involved. Mm. And so if people can start understanding that, you know, there's this little space in here, and we need to be a little more considerate, we can make it more inclusive together.
Amazing. And so, actually, we're going to have to wrap up the interview because yeah. it's getting to the time. But my last question for you both are, so, Amanda, what are your three top tips for an allergy sufferer, a young adult who's, you know, trying to build their confidence? And then, Joella, what is your top tips for an allergy sufferer who's trying to build their confidence?
Okay, Joe, you go first because I have to think for a minute.
I think the first one is to take that extra 10 minutes. I would have ladies' nights pretty often, and you know, if I would always cater them around Amanda instead of the other way around. And so I would think about what she can eat, and then I'd work back from there and add things to that, keep them separately on a table, keep my cutlery separately. If I needed to buy extra cutlery just for this, like that's disposable, I would do it. So it's just taking that extra 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. The second is definitely to communicate clearly. We've had people on the blog who just, you know, who have severe allergies, but they don't want to mention it because they don't want to be that inconvenience. They don't want someone coming over, like Amanda said, and questioning them about the food. And if you're nervous about that, call the restaurant before you get there. Tell them, you know, what your situation is. Mm-hmm. And tell one other person in your group. It doesn't matter if that person's close to you or not close to you. But just having someone who knows, you know, it kind of, we're usually very, like, communal people. And there's always someone who will, like, take that extra step and say, okay, there's someone in the group who we need to think about. That's all you need. You just need one person to be there for you. It doesn't matter how long you've known them, or if they're your best friend, or if they're not, or if you've just met them 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. You're the only person who can look out for you. No one else can. So I think communication is really key. And then the third would be, I think, start bringing it up with family mm-hmm. in a different way. Like, not in a, okay, you guys know what's up, but I think in a, I'm an adult now, mm-hmm. and you've done all you can, now it's up to me to, like, you know, take these steps and take care of myself. Like, just yesterday, I was bugging Amanda, and I was like, have you eaten? And, you know, she hadn't, it's true, I was with her.
I eat the salad, okay.
I was with her for a couple of hours, and I knew that she had eaten. I wasn't sure why, but she had not eaten a proper meal, okay? So, you can laugh all you want, but I think you do need to show the people around you that you have taken it in your control, mm-hmm. that it is something you're responsible for. I mean, I'm sure you, I don't know where you live, Nina, anymore, but I'm sure, like, It's a stressful factor for your parents when you go away, you know?
Yeah, well, I haven't lived with my parents for a while and don't live in the same country as them anymore. So they're, I think, actually now it's got to the point where they forget, and then I have to remind my parents when I go home
That's good.
That happens to me too. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, actually my dad made a whole meal, really nice meal, but then I was like, he made pesto, some stuffed peppers or something, and I was just like, have you checked the pesto? Oh no, cashews in the pesto. And he'd had to make his meal three times because he just didn't do it really safely the first two.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Yeah, he was so upset.
It doesn't apply. My point does not apply to you.
Yeah, just because they've got so used to not having me at home. Oh, and Amanda, what are your three tips?
Well, okay, I think my first main thing is get really good friends. Like, surround yourself with people who actually really care about you. And I know in high school sometimes it's hard when you're always concerned with like appearances and things are very like, you know, self-confidence is always a bit of an issue in high school because everyone's sort of coming of age. Mm-hmm. But really take the time to make good friends who actually care about you, because that means so much. And there are so many times when Joella is thinking about my safety before I am. And it's nice to know that you have someone like to rely on, who someone who cares about you that much.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I would say you gotta just own it. Like, it's just part of you. It's not gonna go away. And so the earlier you sort of develop your own self-confidence about it, it's really to your advantage. Like, you have to be able to communicate about it. And as you grow up and you leave your parents' home and you're sort of out on your own, if you haven't taken the time to prepare yourself, I think it's to your own detriment, because then the learning curve is so much steeper. So I think the earlier you start taking it into your own control and you start building your self-confidence around it, you're really doing yourself a favor. And maybe that's one thing that I wish I had have done more of growing up. And then finally, I would say just like get in the kitchen, like start cooking, you know, learn how to create really beautiful, amazing food. And also share your story. Okay, maybe this is four things. Share your story, because there will always be someone else like you, even if you don't think that there is. So share it, talk about it, you know, don't be shy about it. That's really it.
Yeah, amazing. And where can people find the Everyday Allergen Free website, blog, and on social media?
So you can find our website at everydayallergenfree.com. And you can find us on Twitter, we're EAF Lifestyle. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Everyday Allergen Free, is our handle. And we accept, as we said, we accept submissions all the time. So if you want to share your story, we're a platform to do that.
Amazing. So guys, get in touch and go have a look at the website. Thank you so much, Amanda and Joella, for coming and speaking to me. It was really great fun, and I'm sure everybody's learnt loads, and hopefully they'll be sharing it with their teenagers.
Thank you for having us.
I hope so. And Nina, if you ever have any like recommendations for us over there, because Mandy has come to London, and if you have any other recommendations for around the city, please let us know.
I will, definitely. Actually, I have stuff that I recommend, things that have been popping up over the interview that I want to tell you now after we close up. So yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So that was Amanda and Joella, and what a fantastic episode. I loved hearing all about, you know, two different and grown-up allergy kids talking about allergies. Well, one grown-up allergy kid and a grown-up allergy kid best friend. I think it's fantastic. And I mean, sometimes a third person's point of view is just so much more clear. Because when you're living with allergies, you just have to deal with it every day. You just get on with it. You don't really think about, you know, the annoyance. You're just like, I don't want to be annoying, and I'm just going to make sure I'm responsible. And that's good, because that's our responsibility as allergy sufferers. It is our allergy, and it's no one else's need. Like, they don't have to cater for us. But having a friend say, no, this isn't good enough, and, you know, talking about restaurants, and I mean, I know you've all probably experienced having fruit salad for, you know, starter or dessert because no one's bothered to do anything else. I mean, I'd much rather be safe than sorry. So if someone is only going to give me fruit because that's, you know, the safest option, then that's okay. But if it's out of laziness, you're like, I don't really want to pay. But still, it's lovely to hear another person's point of view. And if any of you run businesses, I think this is a really great episode for you to, like, you know how people think about this. So I have a few announcements, and I know that I've been bombarding with you with announcements quite a lot over the last few episodes, but now I actually have some things that you really want to know about. Well, at least I hope you do. So the chocolate book that I've been working on, chocolate treats, like decadent desserts and cookies and cake, all free from the top 14. And it's time. I am opening up a pre-order page on the eatallergysafe.com website. And this book has been, you know, I've been working on it, I think, for about a year now. And it came about because of you. I sent out an email, I think it was this time last year, saying, you know, what do you miss? What chocolate treats do you love? And I got a list back, and I have been working on those recipes for this last year. And now it's time that the book is published really, really soon. But because I started talking about this on Facebook and I think some other social media platforms, but primarily Facebook, and people were like, well, when can we get the book? When can we order? So I thought, well, instead of, you know, having you wait around for ages, I am opening up pre-ordering, but I'm only opening up pre-ordering for 3 weeks up until the 14th of November. And if you order before November 14th, you're guaranteed delivery before Christmas. If you order after that, and I'm going to close it at the 14th and then I'll open it up again in December, because I'm going to get all the orders and all the pre-orders, then I'm going to get them printed and then I'm going to ship them out specifically so that you get them in time for Christmas. And postage is available worldwide. You'll be able to see that. If you're ordering to somewhere and the postage isn't on there, just send me an email and I'll sort something out for you. But yes, make sure you visit the eatallergysafe.com/shop, and the pre-ordering from the chocolate book is there. And I've also, in the book, I have also written a promise, because I have tried to make these recipes so that they're, you know, available for everyone. But obviously we all know that everybody has different allergies, different combinations of allergies, different severity of allergies. And I've tried to make that there's at least one recipe for each person. But if you can't find anything in that book that you can eat, if you're allergic to pretty much every ingredient in the book, I want you to get in touch, because I will personally make you a chocolate treat recipe to suit your allergies. And I don't care if you've got a list as long as 30 allergens. You get in touch with me and I will make you a chocolate treat. Now, if you're allergic to chocolate, and I have met a few people who are allergic to chocolate, every recipe in this book uses chocolate somehow. But I think in the new year, I'll see if I can work out doing something with carob, or, I don't know, alternatives, or just make something completely different. But yes, if you cannot eat things, any of the recipes in the book, because you're allergic to all the ingredients in the book, get in touch with me and I'll sort something out for you personally. And you'll also get a refund. So you can buy your copy, or can pre-order your copy, or if you're giving us presents, you can buy a few copies at eatallergysafe.com/shop. I'll also put a picture, or a big picture, on the homepage of the website so that you can, well, you know exactly where it is. Pre-ordering closes Tuesday, November 14th, which also happens to be my birthday. So make sure you order before then. You have, I think, 3 weeks and one day, or just about exactly 3 weeks, something like that. Also, on the shop, you'll see there's also chocolate truffles. Now, I have been furiously making truffles. It's a product I've had for a little while. I didn't do it last year, but I'm relaunching them this year. Some of them are on their way to the warehouse, but that's going to take a couple weeks to get there and be, you know, put into the system so they're actually available to buy on Amazon. So I thought, well, seeing as I'm opening up pre-ordering for the chocolate book, why don't I open up pre-ordering for the chocolate truffles? However, you have a very limited time to buy the chocolate truffles. You have until now, when this episode is released, which is Monday the 23rd, until Thursday. No, actually, I'm going to open it up until Friday the 27th of October. So that is like 4 or 5 days from now. So make sure you order before the weekend, and then those orders will be posted out November the 1st, and that will guarantee you get them before Christmas. It will also guarantee you get them before the end of November. I will send them out via first class post if you're in the UK, and it'll also be nice because you'll get a handwritten note from me, and I will be making these all to order. So please do order now to avoid any disappointment. I'm currently writing my teaching plan because I was invited to go and teach cooking, allergy safe cooking, at Great Howarth School, which is in Rochdale in the north of England, which I'm really excited about. And you know, we're going to be covering all about how to make things. I'm going to do a recipe from my new recipe book, which is sweet potato dark chocolate brownies. It's one of my favorite recipes in the book, and I'm really excited to share it with them. I will also be teaching some other savory foods for them to experiment and teaching them all about, you know, allergy safety in the kitchen, you know, basic hygiene as well to do with cooking. I'll be going through, you know, the origins of some of the recipes, how I made them free from, how they can go about making things free from, and for catering with people with allergies. So yeah, I'm really excited, and I hope that the students are too. So thank you, Natalie, who is a listener who invited me to come and do this at her school. The next thing is the Allergy and Free From show in Liverpool, which is happening Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of November. And I'm really excited because I have two talks, one on each day, at 12 o'clock on Saturday and 12 o'clock on Sunday. On Saturday, I'm going to be talking about how you can beat allergy anxiety. I'm going to be talking about, you know, why we get anxious, and then how we, you know, practical steps that we can use to manage it. And I'll be talking about experiences from my own life, how I've beat my own allergy anxiety. So at school, at university, traveling, I'm also going to talk about, you know, post-allergic reactions anxiety, because you can get really anxious and scared after an allergic reaction. I'm also, on Sunday, my talk is all going to be about building allergy confidence. So if you have kids with allergies, if you are an allergy sufferer yourself, if you're an allergy teen, come by. I want to make these talks actually as interactive as possible. So I'm going to be asking for you to tell me your questions, give me comments. I'm going to share stories from my life, from, you know, I've had so many great people on the podcast. I'll probably end up sharing stories from that as well. And it's all going to be about how we can feel better about our allergies, how we can manage them more successfully, less stressfully, how we can feel better about it and not let our allergies define us. So please come on down. This is the first time I'm doing a public talk about allergies, and I am so excited about it. It's a bit different from doing things on video and talking on the podcast, but I'm really excited and I get to meet some of you, hopefully. So please, if you do listen to the podcast and you come and listen to the talk, please come and say hi. It'd be really nice to put faces and names to listeners. That said, if you have an allergy story you would like to share, your own allergy story, if you've overcome allergy challenges, please do get in touch. I just recently interviewed a listener who got in touch, which was really great, and hearing all about her journey and how now she's helping people with allergies. So those will be some of the episodes that are published before Christmas. Please get in touch via sending me an email. Go to eatallergysafe.com/contact and you can send me an email directly from the website. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your allergy story, some of the challenges you faced and how you overcame, how you learned from them. And now, yeah, tell me where you're at now. So I really look forward to hearing from you. I really look forward to seeing you at the allergy show in Liverpool. I really look forward to seeing your orders, please. I always get really nervous before anything goes on sale. I mean, yeah, I've put a lot of work into everything that's going on. I have been working like a crazy person this last month. So yeah, I really hope you enjoy everything that I'm putting out there and you get involved. And just let me know what you think. So that's it for today. Remember, allergies aren't about missing out. They're about doing things differently. Bye-bye for now.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.